Now, allow me to read to you some verses from the Word of God, reading from the book of Joshua, chapter 3. The book of Joshua, chapter 3. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. It came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, Take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Let us bow for a brief moment of prayer. Our Father, we would desire to thank thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for all that thou hast meant to us in the days that are now history. We look back over a year that is gone, and we give thee thanks. We look forward to that which lies before us, and we would put our hand in thy hand. We would put our trust in thee, and commit our way unto thee, knowing that thou shalt direct our path. Bless thy word to all of us today. Bless every listener as we ask it in the Savior's precious name. Amen. Now, if I was asked to take a text out from amongst the verses I have read today, I would be inclined to take these words at the end of verse 4, For ye have not passed this way heretofore. Now, allow these words to go deep into your heart today, dear listening friend, and just think of them for a moment or two. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. You have stepped out into a new year.
And therefore, let us remember this.
We have not been this way before. It's a new year with new possibilities, with new probabilities. It's a new year in which not one of us can say what is in store for us. Ye have not passed this way heretofore. But surely the Word of God has some guidance for us. And when I come to Joshua chapter 3, I have marked off this chapter as being a major crisis and the triumph of faith. Remember, the nation of Israel had been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. It was God with his mighty power who had delivered them from the bondage of Egypt. But God's intention for the people was this, that they should go into the promised land, a land of blessing, a land that was flowing with milk and honey, a land with an abundant supply. The blessings of God were there. And God's intention was this, that the people whom he redeemed from the bondage of Egypt should go forward and go into the land of promise. But for 40 years they had wandered around in the wilderness of sin. They were disobedient. They were marked by unbelief. They had failed to lay hold on the promises of God. Yet in spite of all their unfaithfulness, God remained faithful. Day by day their needs were supplied. The manna was sent from heaven. God gave them water from the rock and manna from heaven. He never failed his people, but it's obvious that they had failed him. But now you've come to a point in the history of that nation when God has removed Moses. Right in chapter 1 we learn this, but chapter 1 of the book of Joshua says, now after the death of Moses. And so in the law of succession, it was a young man named Joshua. When I say young, I mean relatively as compared with Moses. Joshua was a man of mature years, but so far as his age was concerned, he was much younger than Moses. But Joshua has been well trained, and Joshua is now to be used by God to bring the people into the land. It's a major crisis. A whole generation has passed away in the wilderness, and a new generation are going to enter the land. Now, I like to notice this, that when you come to chapter 3, that Joshua rose early in the morning. They removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. Some important business was to be done. Joshua had to be in direct contact with God, and so it seems that he puts God first that day. He rose up early in the morning. He had to do holy business with God. Isn't it a remarkable thing that the Lord Jesus Christ, while he was here on earth, he taught this? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Plain words, the Lord Jesus Christ laid down this great principle that first things must come first. And seek ye first, he said, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And so therefore we find that Joshua was a man who could rise early in the morning. Joshua was a leader. And so therefore we find him, when we come to verse 2, that after 3 days that the officers went through the host. In plain words, Joshua had to give instructions to others who were working under his command. Joshua himself was working under the command of God. In verse 3, we have the command, speaking of divine law. And then there is divine leadership, and there is divine light. Remember our text, ye have not passed this way heretofore. Here were three things that these people required. If there was to be a new beginning, it would call for new behavior. Then they were going to enjoy new blessings. But in so doing, they had to start off in the right place. They had to start off with divine law. And they commanded. Wherever a command is given, there must be authority. They commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God. Now get a clear grasp of what is involved with the ark of the covenant. The contents of that ark are most instructive. In the ark of the covenant, which was sometimes referred to as the ark of the testimony, sometimes referred to as the ark of God, in that ark there were certain things placed. The two tables of stone on which God had inscribed the Ten Commandments were placed in the ark. So therefore, when ye see the ark of the covenant, remember that in that ark there's the tables of the law. We've got to face then God's great authority, God's commandments. And if we're going to follow on in the way of the Lord, Remember, you have not passed this way heretofore. You need to be led. You need some leadership in the path. And if God is going to lead us, and we are going to follow on to know the Lord, we must remember that God speaks with absolute authority. So therefore, in the Ark of the Covenant, there is divine law, which we must not push aside under any circumstances. God's law is not abrogated. God's law will be kept to the full. Christ kept the law and made it honorable. Not only do you have divine law, your divine leadership. In that ark, there was something else placed. There was Aaron's rod that budded. One day in the nation of Israel, there was an uprising, a kind of rebellion, if you like. There were certain people there who said, "We have as much authority as you have. We are not going to be ruled by you." And so they were seeking to overthrow the authority of God's men. And so a simple little test was made. A representative rod from each tribe was laid down. Just a plain piece of rod, a stick from a tree. But in the morning, it was obvious that there was one rod there that had the approval of God. It was Aaron's rod. That rod budded and blossomed and produced fruit. Now, before a rod can bud and blossom and produce fruit, there must be life in it. Otherwise, it will only be a dead stick. But God proved conclusively that his hand of approval was on the rod of Aaron. Aaron was the brother of Moses, of the tribe of Levi. And so there was divine leadership in the sense that God approved of Aaron as the representative priest who would stand in the holy place and represent the people before God. So therefore, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, remember inside there is the divine law which gives commandment. Then there is Aaron's rod that budded, reminding us of divine leadership. But there was something else inside or over that ark, as I should say, because when the ark was in the place, in the holy place, right over the ark there rested the Shekinah glory. And as they were moving on in their wilderness journeys, it was that cloud that led them by day or by night. When the camp rested and the ark was in the Holy of Holies, then the divine light rested upon it. So therefore, when you view again the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, remember it speaks of divine law, it speaks of divine leadership, and it speaks of divine light. Now remember, ye have not passed this way heretofore. They were traveling a new road. They were taking steps they had never taken before. It was a new journey. Therefore, they required the law of God to know that they were doing the right thing. Was it God who was commanding them? They required divine leadership so that they would know that they were being led correctly. They required divine light so that they would not walk in the darkness. May I suggest to all our hearts today, as we step out into a new year, to travel a pathway we have never traveled before.
Not knowing what lies before us in the new year.
We also require the standards of God, the divine law. Knowing that we have the word of authority and God has spoken. In times past he spoke unto the fathers by the prophet. At the end of these days he has spoken unto us through his Son. Therefore, we have a word of authority. It is the divine law of God. Then there is a need for leadership. May I suggest that the Lord Jesus Christ, before he left this scene, he told his disciples that he would pray the Father He would give them another comforter, namely the Holy Spirit. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ went back to the glory and was glorified at the Father's right hand, then when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Holy Spirit came forth, not only to unite the believers into one body, but also to indwell each individual believer, and so to give divine leadership. That's the reason the New Testament says, if you are led of the Spirit of God, there is divine leadership for every Christian if we are willing to accept the leadership of the Spirit of God. Then there is divine light, which speaks of the presence of God. But surely we have the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. We have the light of the revelation of His Word. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself said, I am the light of the world. So therefore we need divine law, we need divine leadership, and we need divine light. But now consider for a moment or two the fact that these people were at a point where there was an impassable difficulty. They were standing on the banks of the River Jordan. In their own strength, they were unable to cross over the swelling waters of the river. Here at Jordan, it was man's extremity, but man's extremity proved to be God's opportunity. They were facing this difficulty, which perhaps might have discouraged them, caused them to turn away. But there had to be the action of faith. They had to step forward in faith, trusting to their God. There was going to be a new beginning here. They were going to go over. But then there is the important delay of 3 days. You know, I sometimes feel that a great number of us forget this, that in the Christian life we must always keep in remembrance the 3 days. It tells us of the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, His burial, and His glorious resurrection. Christianity is not based on a dead Savior. Christianity is built upon a living Savior, one who died and was buried and conquered all his foes and rose again from the dead. And so the believer, as he steps forward, whether it be into a new day, or into a new year, or at a new week, we step forward in faith, and we step forward in triumph, knowing that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And so there was the important delay, but there was the infinite directions, follow the ark. Now remember, if the ark speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it does in every detail, then our responsibility in life is to go on, to follow the Lord, and walk with the Lord in the light of His Word. And what a glory He sheds on our way. When we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. For there was to be the implicit devotion, sanctify yourselves. Here is an imperative requirement. Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. There is to be a new beginning. But if they're going to enjoy the new blessings of God, it will call for proper behavior. I feel we're living in a day when the standards of Christian behavior again require to be made known. There is a difference between a man who calls himself a Christian and one who doesn't. A Christian ought to be marked out as being different from the man of the world, or manner of life. We should know something about God's Word. Come hither, He said, and hear the words of the Lord your God. We must listen to God's Word. Then we must understand something of God's works. Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that He will without fail drive out before you, and so on. And he mentions all their enemies. Then there is God's wisdom as to how it shall be done. Oh, my friend, you've entered a new year. You may be faced with a major crisis. I suggest to every Christian today, step forward in faith. But if I'm speaking to someone who doesn't know the Lord, and you're in fear and in trembling, my friend, you want to get right with God, and do it now. Get right with God, he tells you how. Come to Christ who shed his blood, and at the cross get right with God.
Now